Well, good morning, everyone. This is the Morning Voice, and you're listening to us live on KVOI. Hold on a minute. We got to adjust some of the volume here. There we go. And I have some really special guests. This is like of a continuation of the show from last week when we were talking about Skoll International, which is a global professional tourism organization. There's nothing like it in the world. And we had some really special guests from, boy, I tell you what, she was from Australia, the Skoll U.S., Skoll President International. We had the Skoll incoming Skoll USA President. And we have the current Skoll USA President, Mark Ergang. So, Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be here.
Great. And thanks for being on. Mark and I have enjoyed many years of working together on Skoll membership. And we're going to talk about the importance of Skoll and to the workforce development out there, because we all know we lost a lot of folks during COVID. I think if I remember right, Roger Dow mentioned, and you guys correct me, you're the experts now, but, you know, we lost about 10 million folks that were working in the tourism business. And I think the last time I heard from Roger, we're not quite back there, maybe 5 million. We're still short some tourism folks. So I think those that are listening in the business community and you're looking for wonderful people to work in your tourism location, this is a show you need to listen to. And our second guest is Jack Wirt. Now, we're going to get into the background of both of these gentlemen, but Jack, I met him. He retired. Well, not really, Jack, huh? Good morning, yeah, Jack. Great. And you're going to hear about how he blew the door open when he said he was going to retire, because he not only moved to a wonderful location in Florida, but he created not only a Skoll Club in Southwest Florida, but he also created a new DMO. Destination marketing organization. So there's a lot to talk about with these two individuals, and we're going to be on the air for we're going to be on the air until 7:56 this morning, or and Eastern 10:56. So let's just start with numbers, okay? I mean, that's a lot of folks that are working in tourism. And I mean, when we talk about tourism, we talk about, some people just think it's hotels or attractions, but boy, it seems like if you're in a community where tourism is the major export and everybody gets touched by tourism, whether it be a restaurant, a gas station, a gift shop, if you're in any kind of business, when you have a tourism location, you probably have really good restaurants. You have really good hotels where your family and friends can stay. You probably have some pretty super attractions because what happens when tourists come to town, they need something to do. They can only do so much with family and friends, so they're always looking for things to do. And they all of these establishments have to be staffed, okay, because you know, while us GMs, right, Mark, over the years, we think we can do it all, only when we have a staff that backs us up, you know. How many people you have in your hotel right now, Mark? I'm just curious.
Staff-wise?
Yes.
Oh, I have easily 175 right now.
And if those 175 people weren't there every morning, what would happen when you showed up to work?
Mark would be a very busy man, and I would quit.
Well, you know, during the COVID, we know you did the laundry and you made the beds, but we hope that was going to be over soon, and even though it took a little bit longer than we. And I wanted to introduce to you guys, you know, we have our co-host, Tim Vimmerstedt, and he's a longtime attraction employee, also a food and beverage and catering guy. So everybody say good morning to Tim Vimmerstedt.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Tim. Morning.
So Tim helps me out when I start stuttering. Been a longtime friend, worked for me in old Tucson in a Western theme park. And then I saw several people steal them away, and then I stole them back. And now we're just good buddies and helping me out on the radio show. And he's got a 2-minute task, gentlemen, if you could stand by, because part of the segment of this show is we get to hear from Tim's two most favorite festivals or events that are going on this weekend. So, Tim, are you prepared to tell us what those are?
I am, Tom. We have the World Margarita Championships taking place this weekend at the Westward Look Resort and Spa. So it's a spirited evening of flavor, creativity, friendly competition. It's an annual showdown where our Tucson's top chefs and mixologists battle it out for the ultimate margarita and culinary crown. And it's a great place to take dad for Father's Day weekend, Saturday night. And then we also have a great program going on with Visit Tucson, this summer streetcar savings pass. Hop on, save big, and ride the Sunlink. Enjoy summer specials at your favorite local spots. You flash your digital savings pass, which you can download on your cell phone from visittucson.org. And it's a free pass, and enjoy a lot of fun downtown this summer. So you can find out more about these events and many, many more at thisistucson.com and visittucson.org. And lots of fun things going on this weekend.
Well, thanks, Tim. Yeah, I mean, what a better place to have a is the world's best margarita, guys. I'm sorry if you do that. But you, we've kind of taken the world over with it when it comes to margaritas. Yeah. Even though when I was in Miami, a little Cuba there, a little Havana, was passing out some wonderful, Havana type drinks. I can't remember what they were called, but they were very, very, tasty. And we have a Skull Club in Miami, so I didn't get a chance to visit with anybody down there because it was all about the family. Now, Skull is my other family because, you know, I tried to retire like Jack, from the county, and I was involved in tourism. But I had the pleasure of, joining, the Skull USA board, for about, I think it was 7 years now, Mark, and I got kicked off because you can only serve for 7 years. But there was a couple years I served on committees, and Mark and I got really involved in, membership. And of course we survived during COVID. We got to know everybody, and, I think our relationships, grew. Most organizations now are talking about how can they add more youth to their club. And now Skull historically has been senior management and lots of knowledge, and it still is. But we had to kind of look at the policies and procedures and to get some young blood in. So there are some clubs that have been very successful in bringing in some event managers, which were, have a lot of responsibilities but they're generally much younger, than the average age of a Skull Club. And so the board, when I was there, was just starting to figure out new ways to bring in members. And we were, a lot of times went back to the ABCs of membership. But in 2024, the board came up with, they called it Project Future. And, Mark, can you just give us kind of a quick overview? We're going to go to break in about 3 minutes, and then we'll come back with Jack, and we'll talk a little bit more detail about what is the strategy behind the Project Future.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. No, Project Future, came about because of all the reasons you just mentioned. We did a deep dive into the membership and broke down the demographics, and we saw that, SCAL in general is an aging organization. And after some, very deep conversations, we realized very quickly that we need to, bring in the youth and the future leaders of the hospitality industry. So, but again, it's been challenging because of COVID and losing a lot of the interest of students. And so we've had to work really, really hard to get the interest back. So we wanted to be proactive. So we decided to create this Project Future strategy, which involves going to the universities, reaching out to the heads of hospitality, and trying to introduce what, lack of a better term, a student chapter, maybe like a student fraternity for hospitality. And, you know, we've gotten some very positive feedback on it. But of course, they wanted to know more, which, you know, I'm sure Jack's going to talk about later. But we started in University of Florida. And last year, you know, we're proud to announce that we launched the first Project Future student chapter, SCAL student chapter at University of Florida, which is a very acclaimed hospitality program spearheaded by Dr. Rachel Fu. And, you know, again, just like any new chapter, you know, and new organization, you know, there's been some growing pains, but we're learning every day how to make it better and how to maneuver through some of the obstacles. St. John's University just agreed to be number two. So I'm working with them, with Jack, to, you know, put together the bylaws and all the things needed to open up a student chapter. So that'll be number two. And this past weekend, last weekend, I personally drove up to Cornell University, met with head of hospitality and several students, and they're very interested in it as well. It happens to be my alma mater. So, you know, I knew some people up there and we were able to get in front of the right people. So they're doing some follow up on all the political, educational red tape that goes along with introducing a new chapter in a university. And then last but not least, I'm in talks with Penn State University, who has also a very acclaimed hospitality program. So, you know, we're just looking to get the interest in the students from the time they're still in school and, you know, introduce them to these internships, mentorships, all the things Jack will talk about. But it seems to be working. We got some nice momentum going, and we're really excited about getting them into SCAL and hopefully being the future leaders within SCAL down the road.
Well, thank you, Mark, for that overview. And we'll be back in just a few moments with Jack Wirt from Southwest Florida. And we're going to get into the meat and potatoes, because we have an older guy and we have a younger guy as our guest today. And they've come together, and I think you want to hear what they have to say. This is Tom Moulton, and we are on The Morning Voice on KVOI, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. Well, we're back. It's Morning Voice, and two very special guests are on the radio today, and we're also on Facebook now, KVOI.com, and Bustos Media is our parent company, and we get a chance every Thursday to talk tourism, and I have that opportunity, being 45, maybe 50 years, Jack, and we stopped counting, right? You know, how long we've been doing this, but we're enjoying every day. We tried to retire, but yeah, that didn't work out. And one of our guests, Jack Wirt, long, you know, I don't know a lot of background about you, Jack. So, you know, and I think maybe 1 minute, can you tell us, you know, your roots in tourism?
You bet, Tom. Thank you very much. And it does go back a few years. In the early 90s, I actually was working for an advertising agency in Orlando, Florida. They were pitching a new piece of business with a county just to the north of Orlando, Seminole County. And they were talking about starting a tourism bureau. And so the ad agency that I was with, we were going to pitch this new piece of business. And then at the last minute, they changed their tune at the county and decided, no, we want to form this organization within Seminole County government. I already had kind of written the plan for the startup. And so I thought, I'm going to apply for the job. So, and I got it. I was the employee of the organization of one, and started the Tourism Bureau there in Seminole County. I grew that, and then I had the opportunity to move from there to the Naples area. And as you mentioned earlier, had an opportunity to start yet another tourism bureau here in Southwest Florida. So it's been a wonderful opportunity. About the 30 years of doing this destination marketing piece for two different organizations. So that's the kind of my tourism background, and I guess we'll talk about the Skal connection there in a minute. But that's how I got started in this business, and I will tell you, it's the best job I have ever had. It's a great opportunity to meet people and learn more and more about your own community and the importance of bringing visitors to the area. Because as you said earlier, Tom, they spend money virtually everywhere in the community. And here in the Naples area, that has grown from when I first got here, the impact of tourism to the community was $1 million at that time. It's grown. It's doubled over the years here. We employ about 45,000 people in Collier County here. It's a small county, but it's a major part of the tourism industry. In fact, it's the largest employer in the private sector here in the area. So it's really important to the community, and the Tourism Bureau, Convention and Visitors Bureau, as we call it here, is an integral part of bringing visitors every year to the area. We bring over a million visitors every year to the area, and they all spend money. And it's a multi-billion dollar impact to our community.
Well, you know, Jack, you've made AI, so you're a big deal now. You did. You know, we run an attraction coalition here, and I've had the opportunity to, I think, start four of them in New Orleans and Barstow, California, of all places, Southern California. And I understand exactly everything that you said. Tourism is such a vital part of many, many destinations, obviously Florida. Our coalition here is modeled after the Florida Attractions Association, which, of course, is statewide. And we're not quite statewide. We're Southern Arizona, but we're working on going statewide. But, you know, one of the big things everybody wants to talk about is AI. You know, so I figured, what the heck? I'm going to be talking to a couple of guys today about a brand new program, you know, that started just in 24. And I said, I'm going to put in ChatGPT and see what the heck comes up. And I'm going to just read it to you, Jack. I'm not trying to steal any of your thunder. But Project Future is Skal International USA's, there you go, Mark, flagship initiative designed to cultivate the next generation of tourism leaders by bridging education and industry. Here's a breakdown. And then it goes into objectives and missions and strategies. And can you believe this? I mean, this AI initiative just really started about a year ago or so. And here, Skal International Project Future. And if you just ask the question about the future of Skal, International or future of Skal, this thing pops up. So congratulations to you, Mark, the entire Skal USA board, and to Jack for taking on, this important initiatives. Because again, you know, it's been probably 6 months since I've heard from Roger, from U.S. Travel, who is retired. And I don't think he really retired either. And he says a lot of these people that were laid off or when their business closed didn't come back to tourism. So we, not only do we have to grow Skal, but we got to grow, the employee resources. And it's like this was written, you know, for cultivating tourism leaders around the institutions that like the one, Mark, you were just at. I mean, you and Art Alice are both graduates from that fine institution, Northern Arizona University and the University of Arizona and Pima Community College both have culinary and hotel management classes here, and they're going gangbusters now. And yes, there's this concept of low wages, but you know what? Skoll can help that issue because we want to take that 21-year-old and turn him into a general manager by the time they're maybe 30, maybe even before that. Because when I was in the attractions industry in the 1960s and 70s, most of the Six Flags general managers were under 30 years old. So it can be done. So, Jack, you got a big job, but you're on AI. So tell us a little bit more.
That's really good to hear that AI obviously went in and stole a lot of stuff from my last presentation about the Project Future. But it really has picked up what the future is. And what we have found after really getting started with the University of Florida chapter is what the students were really looking for. And they're certainly looking for more than just what the instructors are telling them in their classes. You can't learn it all from a book. Just as we have found, both Mark and I and our careers in New Tom as well, it's about the practical experience you get working in the industry or really interacting with someone who's been in the business for a while and can help teach you. That's what these students are really looking for is tell me about the real world. Tell me how to get into this business. I'm in a hospitality and tourism program right now at my university. How do I go after graduation and make a career out of this? Or can I make a career out of it? The answer is certainly yes. And I think one of the things I've said to students is I've had an opportunity to talk to them in various high school and college settings is it's a huge opportunity because virtually whether you're in hotels or attractions or restaurants, whatever it is, a tour business, the skills are much the same. It's sales and marketing in a lot of different settings, but it's all about bringing visitors to your business or to the community and encouraging them and all the things to see and do and spend money in businesses throughout the community. So,
okay, Jack, we're going to be back in just another moment. We got to pay some of the bills. And don't forget where you left off. This is Tom Moulton, and we're on The Morning Voice on KVOI. Well, thank you, Matt. For those that are wondering why I'm the one-armed radio announcer today, I was in Miami and your neck of the woods, Jack, and had an enjoyable vacation in Marriott with my family. And I decided that I was going to misnavigate, and I stumbled, and I decided I was going to fall on my shoulder rather than my head. So the emergency room said, thank goodness you didn't land on your head. But my shoulder was saying, really? So we are recuperating. And luckily, I don't have to use all my arms in on the radio here. And we're so glad that you're listening to us today because this is KVOI and 10:30 a.m. And I'm your host every Thursday. And we talk about tourism on The Morning Voice. And KVOI is a trusted local news and talk station here. And we got this brand new setup, guys. And I think there's 5, 6 cameras, guys, that I'm surrounded by. And you're live on, we got a nice camera pointed right to your headshot. And, just really special guests, good friends today, really, I think it kind of saved me from boredom when I decided to retire at 65 from Pima County to continue working, with Skoll International, the largest global, if the only organization that all folks involved in and tourism can become a member. We started in, I think it was in 32 with a bunch of guys got together, and 34 was our first. And New York, there over in New York, you were the first club for Skull USA, weren't you, Mark?
Yeah, New York City was the first club, so they paved the way for all the other clubs. We're now up to 35 clubs and have about 1,350 members as the largest country within scale of membership. So we're proud. New York is very proud of that.
Yeah, and New York's got a wonderful club, two clubs in the New York area, and the incoming Skull USA president was on the radio last week, and he is a past president of Skull New York, so we're looking forward to the succession plan that you and your board members worked very hard a couple of years ago. So there's a lot of changes that are happening, all good stuff at Skull International and its national chapter, which is Skull USA. Over 85 nations, I think, have Skull clubs, and we're almost back to 13,000 members again. So that's pretty darn good when you're on 85 different nations. And I have to tell you, when I went to my first Skull event in Turkey, they were the nicest, most outgoing people that you'll ever. We're not introverts in tourism, are we, Jack? We like to get out, and we certainly like to have fun, and there's a lot of social. But we're talking about, crafting with a brand new initiative called Project Future. And Mark and his gang of dedicated, passionate board members, and Mark's been on the board now for how many years now, Mark?
2 years as director of membership, 1 year vice president of membership, 1 year VP of administration, and now year 5 as president.
So in order to become president, you're on the board for at least 5 years, Mark is doing a great job leading a talented group of men and women. And Project Future, to tap into Jack, I haven't seen if Mark is involved in AI yet, but I'll try to do that a little later on today, Mark. But Jack, you're a celebrity, and when it comes to Project Future, and when you get a chance, go on to ChatGPT, because they've really, I think, captured what we're trying to do now. Circle K, Qantas, Rotary, a lot of organizations have collegiate organizations. The focus of a lot of these, certainly is to adopt the Rotary mission or the Qantas of service. But it's not really necessarily tied to workforce development or career development. It's tied to maybe future Kwanians and future. And when, we started many years ago with a young Skull program, and from my perspective, and I want you guys to join in, but it always seemed like, yeah, there are some clubs that are doing really well, like Florida, Hawaii, but those are very unique situations there, when almost the entire, especially Hawaii, the entire business is tied to tourism, and they've been very successful. But you know what? During that time, I always heard I also heard this negative that there's really no direct link to being a young Skull member and becoming a full force Skull member. And yes, we can hope for that. Okay. But I think what's important, in my perspective, gentlemen, is that learning how to navigate in the tourism industry is not easy. And Skull International is full of 1,300 USA members, and these are all senior managers to owners, national managers, regional managers, people that have worked their way from a minimum wage job. Because when you talk to these GMs, they were cleaning bathrooms. They were running the front door. You know, they were running housekeeping. You don't just walk in and become a general manager of a hotel. And Mark can tell us about that. You got to really work your way up. And if you have a mentor that is working with you day in and day out, if you have a Skull Club, or we're going to be showing people how to reach out to Skull, even if you don't have a club there. This is something that Jack is, you know, devoting, I think, a big part of his time right now, to ensure not only the future of Skull, but the future of having dedicated, passionate leaders, in tourism. So Jack and Mark, congratulations for all of your passions and time, that you're putting towards this new program, because, you know, introducing new programs, especially when your membership is in the senior level, they like to be comfortable and have a good meal and have a good drink. But this is a lot of hard work that you two folks are doing. And Jack, where are we right now on Project Future?
Well, as I mentioned before the break, our first chapter that we've put on at the college campus is at the University of Florida. They've been in business now a little over a year. Interestingly enough, Skull is certainly all about really promoting tourism globally. And you've mentioned various service clubs and so forth. They're all, and we are no exception in Skull, we're aging out as well. We need young people to come into the business. This is really, well, if we can get on the college campuses with students who are already, they've chosen perhaps a major in hospitality and tourism. They're kind of learning the basics, but they want more. And as I was saying before the break, they're really looking to interact with people that have been in the business for a while and can kind of mentor them. But our clubs are also looking for ways to grow in the future and bringing younger people in, which is the future of Skull. Our clubs certainly need these young people to do things. We've just been talking about AI and all that it knows about Project Future already. We don't really understand what it is. So we need these young people to help us with certainly our online newsletters and AI and posting to our social media channels and so forth. These are jobs in our own clubs that most of our members don't have experience in and really don't want to volunteer to do it. These young people can do that and help grow our clubs around the country and truly around the world. But interestingly enough, we need to remember also our Skull members, the businesses that they're in and they've been in for years, they are also looking for employees, future employees, through internships and those kinds of things to get them involved in the businesses. And really then for the students through our Project Future, they're going to grow their contacts worldwide. I want to give you just a real quick example of how this can work. I've been mentoring one of the students from University of Florida who's in the Skull Club there. They call it the Gator Chapter, obviously, for good reasons. He is moving upon graduation to Washington, D.C. And through my contacts with him, I've been able to introduce him to a couple of Skull members in the Washington Club. He's going to seek out and get and become a member of the Washington Skull Club when he gets there. But now he's got a whole new network of people to work with. He's looking for a job. What better place to do it in Washington and get involved with Skull and really get some job leads very, very quickly.
Great.
So that's kind of how. Go ahead.
Well, great story, Jack. We got, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to hear from Mark, and we're going to hear from Jack on how do you learn more about Project Future? Who can you contact? So you guys, you're on standby for that, because we got one more break, and we're going to be, that hour goes quick, doesn't it, guys? This is Tom Moulton, and I'm your host, and coming up, Trail Dust Town and all the things that are Old West with Charlie Casey, the president. He'll be here at the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be right back. I'm back. This is the last segment. And we have two really special guests. Mark Ergang, who's the Skull USA president for this year. And he's been on the Skull USA board for 5 years. He and I served together in the membership a few years back. And Jack is in charge of the Project Future Committee. And that's what we've been talking about really for the last 2 weeks, is about Project Future, the future of Skull, the future of tourism, and from a perspective of prayer development. And that's very important, I think, especially since we lost so many tourism jobs during the pandemic. Now, Mark, you're the general manager of a wonderful new hotel. Tell us just about 30 seconds about where you're working now.
Yeah, I'm the general manager of the new Marriott New York JFK Airport Hotel. It's right across the street from the busiest airport probably in the United States, maybe the world. We actually were supposed to open in 2020, but we all know what happened in 2020. I probably hold the record for the GM that has been on the payroll of an opening hotel the longest, because I got hired in March of 2020, and we didn't open till the end of 23. But I am happy to say it's a 360-room hotel, full service. And I'm proud of my team. We won Marriott's Hotel Opening of the Year for the entire Marriott International, company, which is probably the highest honor you can get. It's like winning Best Picture at the Academy Awards. So very proud of the team for that accomplishment.
Well, the caliber of leadership in Skull is unbelievable. The passion is something to write, a career summary about what it takes in order to be successful in tourism. You got to really enjoy what you're doing. And when I used to come to work every day, it wasn't work. It was just, we just had a great time. And, and being surrounded by younger people, Jack, I think you're spot on as far as the Project Future. How do we, I know we don't, this is a long-term program. So, Jack, how do we learn more about Project Future other than AI?
Well, as Mark mentioned, we're learning every day. Certainly the initial Skull chapter at University of Florida has taught us what those students are looking for. Every meeting that we get, we do with them, we learn more and what they're interested in. And it's really, it is working out very well, because Mark has been able to already get St. John's University on Long Island really enthused about it, and they're ready to go. We're also looking at where we can do it elsewhere. Penn State sure has interest, Cornell, Philadelphia area, same situation here in Florida. We have five hospitality and tourism schools here in Florida. We also have five Skull clubs, and each of those are a perfect opportunity to align a Skull club with a chapter on a university campus where they have a hospitality and tourism school. That's where this thing is going to grow. It's going to gain momentum. What's interesting about the times that we're in, these students know students at other universities, and they interact too. And through social media, they're starting to really talk about the program. They're able to now tell people on other campuses what they've learned about the importance of having Skull as part of their our whole job growth in the future can really, really help them. So it's how do you get it started? I think initially what it, and what we're encouraging each of our clubs across the U.S., talking to their board members and so forth, to if they have a hospitality tourism school close by, get to know the leadership, like we did with Dr. Fu at University of Florida. She was the spark plug that got it going, and she saw the benefit and got that chapter started there. We can do the same thing around the country and begin to grow this project really U.S.-wide. And once we can show the world how it works, I think it's going to work in other countries as well.
So well, Jack,
it really looks good.
Be commended for all of your, and, you know, we're a volunteer organization. And so you and Mark and just super people and passionate. And I think it's already showing up in the success of getting new schools. Cornell is a great school. We have a great culinary school here at Pima Community College, and we're Art and I are working on that. I want to thank Mark, president of Skull USA, and Jack Wirt from the Southwest Florida for joining me today talking about Skull and Project Future. You guys have a good day, and thank you. And we'll be right back with Charlie Casey, or Charles Casey, will be formal here, from Trail Dust Town. This is 1030, The Voice. Good morning. We're back through the 8 o'clock hour, and we have a brand new guest in the studio. And we are also not only live on 1030 AM, but we are also live on Facebook. So, Matt, how can they see us live?
1030 The Voice is the Facebook page, 1030 The Voice. That's the home for KVOI 1030 The Voice.
Thank you. And that was not a recording. That was live from producer Matt. Tim Vimmerstadt. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
I wish you were in the studio because you would get to see a very smiling face from Casey. He's here. And of course you and I known Casey for many years, and I can still remember when we got you when you were in part of your first rehab, and you and I and Casey walked around Trail Dust Town, and I learned a lot about what Trail Dust Town, the history, and of course I think both Casey and I learned a little bit about the way the place was operated back, you know, in the day under Dan. And so we're so happy, you know, Casey Wills is the president of Trail Dust Town, but it's actually the parent company is Agra Land and Cattle. And we're going to talk about the, you know, the kind of how that all worked out in the history of Trail Dust Town. But, you know, I learned, you know, when you bring folks in like Casey, you learn things that, you know, that are brand new. And some of it is good, and some of it is like, really? We won't talk about the really today, Casey, I promise. But we're talking about a wonderful part of town, the Tanger Verde. Is it called the Tanger Verde? Is there a nickname for the Tanger Verde Road there? Or it used to be Restaurant Row at one time, but... Hold on just a minute. We got to make sure your mic is working here. There you go. Try it again.
We good?
There we go. All righty. So that was Casey, by the way, but you didn't hear him.
So yeah, it's more recently called Restaurant Row, but it's, you know, just that weird part of town where Tanker Verde turns into Wilmot and Grant turns into Kolb. It's more famous of being the place where the Jurassic McDonald's is, I think, more so than anything else.
the dinosaur, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, you know you're in the right location when you see the dinosaur greeting people at the McDonald's there. And so Casey, you know this story, but I we started the Attractions Alliance in apparently 1998, and there was a must-have list, okay, of the attractions. And, you know, and obviously there's the big four, the big five, or whatever. You know, Tim, you used to work for some of them. And The other ones were places that we enjoyed visiting. And Trelldestown was one of them. I think it started with Savoy Opera House for a wonderful event. And people, it's just not a local corporate opera house. It's a place where really national meetings have happened, international meetings that happened. And, of course, you know, it's all Old West, 1880s, 1890s. And that's how I got my initial and, of course, I'm the general manager of Old Tucson. I came in town. It was right after a fire, and I'm trying to open up something, and I go visit with Trelldestown and take probably, 100 pictures. Gee, I wish we could do it this way. And then we were over at Hidden Valley, okay, and I went over there, and they had a fire in 95 or so as well, and they rebuilt. And so I'm, oh man, we got to have this kind of entertainment and everything. So I'm, enjoying seeing the other Western facilities here in town. Of course, the Rodeo Parade Museum as well. And it just seems that, we're not a competitive organization. We're a marketing co-op. We're promoting tourism. And it just seemed like I could not convince Dan to join our organization. And we're an all volunteer organization. The dues are pretty low. And our job is to collectively market all the Southern Arizona attractions and the unique attractions. And Trelldestown is one of these very super well kept. I wouldn't call it a hidden secret. Because it's very well known, especially the Savoy Opera House, and of course Pinnacle, the famous place where you get your tie cut off.
Yeah, right.
This is really wonderful to have you here, Casey. Because again, Trelldestown for 20 plus years has been in my mind, and Tim Vimmerstedt, thank you, Tim, introduced us to Trelldestown. And you guys came on as members, and we try to do a little bit of extra stuff for the ones that we think are a little extra special. And
sure.
And being on this radio show is very special to me. So thank you again for joining us. We're going to learn a lot more about Trelldestown between our commercials and some, maybe we'll take a couple of phone calls if anybody wants to call us and tell us your wonderful story about Trelldestown, your good times over there. We'll take that call, because I'm sure Casey will want to hear it from you. Let's learn a little bit about Casey, because when we first met you, you were I want to say the bulldog behind the scenes, okay?
That's the first time I've been called that, but okay.
I say that affectionately, okay?
Sure,
there's
sure.
always a guy or a gal behind that makes things happen, okay? And I there wasn't a general manager, okay?
Right.
But it was Dan, okay? But Dan was busy building the buildings and making sure they're well kept, mm-hmm. and he was definitely the brainchild behind. There's not a back of any building at Trelldestown. Everything is done with a Western facade, but all the buildings are functional. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have to say, I've probably been, I booked at least 3 or 4 events at Savoy, but I've probably been to, I bet you 8 or 9 events at Savoy, and it's all kinds of corporations and everything, and the staff has been, when you have in-house catering and the entertainment and whatever, it's really a super. But Casey, we got about 5 minutes on this segment, so
sure.
I know sometimes people don't want to talk about themselves, but you are now the president of the Agri Land and Cattle, which is basically we all know as Trelldestown,
mm-hmm.
And also as Pinnacle Peak, and a wonderful, the home of the cowboy steak.
That's
okay,
us.
And a wonderful place to go have a steak, and still very, very affordable. Thank you for
appreciate
keeping
that.
Those $2 signs that haven't gone to 3 and 4s. you can make it with you dessert and drinks and everything, but it's and I was there last night actually for a kickoff event of the new Southern Arizona Chamber, which is a combination of the Tucson Metro Chamber and Sun Corridor. So that was a really nice tribute to Savoy to have that kickoff event there. And I think I'm going to be back for another event on Thursday for Tucson Business Networking. And I've been I'm probably at least three of their events there. And, you know, the those poppers you had last night were, oh my gosh, that was wrapped in the bacon. So, and then I had visited with Casey and Tim, you would have been proud of me in the sense that I thought about you sitting with me having a steak dinner. And I know it's hard to have a virtual steak dinner.
It is.
So
we should do that soon.
Well, I tell you, maybe Casey can help me on this. After my meeting on Thursday, I'm going to have a wonderful steak dinner, and I'm going to ask Casey if he'll package one up and I can bring it to your house. Do you think we can do that, Casey?
We have the technology.
Let's do that. Yes. And I promised him I will deliver a warm, juicy steak to you in person next Thursday.
That sounds fantastic.
That sounds like a date.
So, Casey.
It does sound like a date, doesn't it?
How long have you been involved with at Trellis Town?
Sure. So, I've been with the company close to 20 years.
Wow.
I started at El Corral. I was a manager over at El Corral. It's on River and Campbell. And then I moved over into the kitchen of the Savoy Opera House, and I was the chef there for a number of years. And then I was doing the books and, like, bookings. And so I was booking and cooking for a little bit.
I like booking and cooking.
Yes.
Remember that, Tim. Okay.
Yeah, booking and cooking, but I was not cooking the books. And then I moved into just the sales portion of the position as, you know, the being a professional cook and chef as a lifestyle. And so, you know, got married. It was, we wanted to get our schedules more aligned. So I switched into basically the job I am now. So I'm the president of Agriland and Cattle, and we're better known as Pinnacle Peak, Trellis Town, Savoy Opera House, and El Corral.
Yeah, and that's, I forgot about that because I went by that on the way home. And I've only eaten there maybe once. I don't know why, but it's got a huge parking lot.
You're doing yourself a disservice, but that's, you know, that, I might be a little bit biased.
Well, you probably trained the cook. That's there.
No, they've been doing it. That restaurant's been a restaurant since 1939.
Well,
our company's owned it since 1975. So
River Road is what a great place. And Tanger Verde, what are you, two great locations.
Yeah,
and
yeah, they chose very well.
You're next to our friends at Golf and Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A famous baseball player, but not really, Ted Williams.
And, sure.
And I think, you know, I have to give some credit to Ted, too, because and both Tim, because they were instrumental in introducing us to the decision makers at Trellis Town to bring you guys on as members. And you know, weren't we at a restaurant like across the street or something like that, I think, where we met or something like that?
It could have been, yeah.
It wasn't Sakura. It was, and it wasn't Millie's, because Millie's Pancake
they moved
House.
Over, yeah.
But now Millie's is with you.
Yep, they're in Trellis Town.
Yeah, so if you want to have a great pancake breakfast, Millie's is there. Open every day.
Every day now, yeah. They just they changed ownership about a month ago, and they are now open 7 days a week from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
We're going to be back, and we're going to hear a little bit about the history going back to 1961. But there's history before 1961, and you'll really enjoy this story. I am your host, Tom Moulton, and I'm here with my special guest, Casey Wills, the president of Trellis Town, Savoy, and all kinds of other things. And we're going to learn a lot more about Trellis Town, and he's got some new things he wants to tell you about as well. We'll be right back, and this is The Morning Voice on 10:30 a.m., our trusted local news and talk. Alrighty, we're back listening to the Hey Boys, Cowboy Bluegrass. And, you know, one of the opportunities, you know, I came from Calico Ghost Town in Southern California. So I was, in a sense, general manager of two Old West parks, Old Tucson and Calico Ghost Town. So I have my three cowboy hats and my two cowboy boots and my suspenders and everything. And you really never get used to wearing regular clothes when you can dress up every day as a cowboy. And I don't know what it is, Casey, but very enjoyable. And one of the things that, you know, I talked to Tony about, you got to bring back the cowboy hats and the Western clothes for the staff. Wearing T-shirts, you know, with your logo on it at Old Tucson, you know. But, you know, I've always been an opinionated former general manager, and nobody's going to change me. So we are here with Casey Wills. He's the president of AgriLand and Cattle, which has three or four wonderful brands. One of them is the home of the cowboy steak, and you've probably seen at least three or four of my paisley ties on the ceiling. And now you used to have a location in the Phoenix area as well?
So there was a location. The original Pinnacle Peak was up in Scottsdale, and it was wasn't part of our company at any point. So that one, it's a little bit murky, but I think it was a licensing or maybe a franchising that opened the location in Tucson. That was in 1962, and then our company Agro ended up taking over management and then ownership of it by 1964 or 1965.
Yeah. So when you go out there, some people go out there to enjoy a wonderful steak dinner.
Sure.
Some go out there because of the kids area, because you just have a brand new renovated Alan Herschel carousel. And I've been around for a while, Casey, so Chance bought all of the rights to Alan Herschel rides, and you probably, mm-hmm. if you're over 65, you probably were in their little boat rides and their little motorcycle rides, and, you know, and just wonderful growing up with these Alan Herschel rides. And they did a smaller version. Is it three abreast or
yep,
three abreast
yep.
horses? And sometimes you can do lions and, you know, zoo animals and stuff like that. And Casey and I were talking about this yesterday, about that calliope music used to be a big part of mm-hmm. going out. And there's an old one in L.A. and they're in San Diego. There's not a lot of old carousels around because mm-hmm. these parks have closed, and they end up selling these horses off one by one, and they end up being the centerpiece of somebody's lobby or their restaurant or their business or whatever. But, you know, these horses are, you know, originally were hand-carved, and mm-hmm. then a mold was made. I think, are they aluminum?
Ours are aluminum, yes.
Aluminum, yeah. But the original horses of carousels are made out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it all starts with a carving.
Sure.
And beautiful renovation of their carousels. So you got to go out to Trailless Town to see it. Let's pick it up. So let's see. When I was doing the research on you, there was this movie by the guy that was out here in Tucson for four movies, I think it was, the most amount of movies filmed at Old Tucson was Glenn Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, he was shooting a movie where Trail Dust Town is.
That's the rumor.
But there's no film.
There's no film, and it depends on who you talk to, because what I understand about it is that they had the more like the concept of a movie. They didn't even get to a script, and then they had Trail Dust Town got built to be an Old West themed shopping center, and so then it kind of, I think all the rumors and all these things sort of came together to make it as if that was going to be why it got built as a movie set, but it was built to be a shopping center. And then, the Glenn Ford gets pulled into it, and it makes, you know, in some ways it's a little bit more of an interesting story.
Yes.
But at the same time is that we haven't been able to find how far along that production got. And so as far as we know, it just made it to, you know, a conceptual stage and then kind of fizzled out like a lot of Hollywood projects do.
That's one of those things where you wish you could find the 8mm movie of the construction, mm-hmm. you know, and then run that really fast so you could see a town built.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is, when you pull in from Tango Verde, You just forget about all your troubles, and you're in an old West town, and lots to do there. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that once you go into Trail This Town, you can do.
Sure. So the one of the things about it that is, you know, as much as we can, we try to kind of have the rest of the outside world to not be as involved. So when you pull in, you can, the first thing that's going to strike you is the sort of the architecture of the space. All the buildings were all sourced from actual buildings and architecture around the country. And our owner, Dan Bates, he went and found actual places. There's actual antiques all around. So you really feel like you're walking into history. It's an idealized version of it a little bit. But the West was really colorful. So when you walk in and you see the really brightly painted buildings, that was what the West looked like. It wasn't drab like you might see in a spaghetti Western. And it makes sense because, you know, advertising's been around for a long time and paint has been around a long time. So why wouldn't you paint your building? So you have that, and then you have to cross some train tracks. So we have a CP Huntington train. The whole track, I think, is about a quarter mile or a half mile. I always forget. And, you know, it takes 10 minutes to do that. So you can decide to do that if you like. There's Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse. We have the Alan Herschel carousel. There's a Circle of the Wagons Ferris wheel, a gold painting experience that you can paint for gold. Well, it's not really gold, guess. But
it looks like it's gold.
I mean, right? This, well, they call it fool's gold, so I don't know if that's okay. Maybe you need to think about that, Tom. Yeah, I don't know.
Kids like that.
Yeah, right? Then we have a shooting gallery, as well as, you know, the picturesque kind of environment.
Is that a Taylor shooting gallery, or do you remember?
Amusement Electronics.
Okay, right.
So it's out of Colorado.
It's electronic. You're shooting a beam of light.
Okay. A beam of light that then makes a bunch of pneumatic stuff, you know, go wild, and it's a lot of fun. We actually have a guy working on it this morning because one of the rifles is giving us a little trouble.
Well, I, back in my day, one of my jobs was fixing all the AV equipment and the shooting range.
Oh, man.
You know, and that goes way back, but... So, you know, where's Tom? Well, he's on his belly somewhere fixing a squirrel that runs from left to right, or or a cowboy that pops up, you know. And but those are the you know, kids really love that stuff.
They love it. They love it. It's helpful. I mean, adults love it too, just because you can see a little glimpse of wonder and innocence come back in their eyes when they you know, they shoot the thing and the little piano man starts going wild, you know.
Yeah, and it's a large beam, so you can't miss it.
Yeah, it's not exactly a skill-based game, if you know what I mean.
Well, you also have a very popular stunt show.
And oh, absolutely.
I really, you know, I've seen the stunt show, I don't know, 10, 15 times. And, of course, at Old Tucson, we had stunt shows. But there's similarities, but there's unique differences.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I think sometimes the number or the variety or the types of stunts change per show. But so when you're seeing a show in Old Tucson, you're not going to be seeing the same show at Trail This Town or vice versa.
Absolutely.
And you got a guy running it that, tell us a little, he's very passionate.
Oh, Jerry? Yeah. Jerry Woods. And it's actually his, basically the entire Woods family, I believe, is involved with the production at this point. So it's the Pistoleros Wild West stunt show. They incorporated on their own about 5 years now. So they've been performing the show for close to 30. Wow. And they one of the things that's really special about their show, I mean, I'm biased, of course, but I do think it's, you know, it's the best show in town. But again, I've got some bias there. But they one of the things that's really special about how they perform it is there's a large variety of stunts they perform. There's no amplification to them. So you're hearing their voices, and the entire thing too is that they're performing it, you know, 5 feet in front of you.
I know. We'll learn more about Trail This Town in just a few moments. We're here with Casey Wills, the president of Trail This Town. I want to talk a little more about this cowboy steak when we get back.
It sounds great.
All right. How could we not listen to that, Matt? I mean, the Sons of the Pioneers did that song a couple of weeks ago at Old Tucson, and I Anything to do with the old West music, you got to really appreciate it. And I didn't realize that Johnny Cash did that song as well, but it sounded really good, Matt. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. Now we left the second break, and we were talking about everything to do at Trail Dust Town.
Sure.
And what we haven't really talked about is this wonderful restaurant that's in there. That generally there's a little bit of a wait. Do you take reservations now there as well?
Groups of 10 or more.
Okay. And that was what we saw last night. I saw several groups there.
Yep.
And, of course, all the hotels around the area, when you are you checked in, they bring out a basket full of ties. And I don't know if you knew this, right?
I've heard about it.
Yeah, they bring out a basket of ties, and you go, what are those for? And because they're the ugliest ties, you know, they look like they were made out of old curtains. And I said, oh, you got to wear this at Trail Dust Town, Pinnacle Peak. And, you know, it's just the greatest thing in the world. They come by and they cut your tie off and they'll hang it up on the wall. And of course, the people go crazy. And, you know, so that's their, the hotels in your area are promoting the heck out of your restaurant.
And, well, we appreciate that.
You know, and we have, you know, three or four really good steakhouses here. Some are very, some are $4 bills. There's one right off of I-10, you know, that's really good. But I think the greatest variety cuts of meat are in Trail Dust Town, and their restaurant there, as you mentioned, opened up in the 60s, and you guys took it over. And lots of rooms, and there's a lot of space in there.
A lot of space. Yeah, so, we have five dining rooms.
So you can go into a dining room, and it's very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go into a larger dining room where, but the acoustics are really nice. It's not like loud,
right.
You know, you can carry on a conversation, but that's not really the big feature. The big feature is the large menu of steaks that are available.
Yeah.
But you also have something special going on outside, don't you, where you put this meat and it's under the ground?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the mesquite pits.
Yes, there you go. Tim.
Yes, sir.
The mesquite pits.
Yes, pit beef.
Were you ever part of that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You have a story. Go ahead.
Oh no, we ordered it all the time for our events at the Savoy Opera House.
Oh sure, yeah. Was that the first set of pits or the second set of pits when you were there?
It was 1993 to 1997, so probably the first set of pits, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that would have been right in front of the restaurant then?
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
And so, but I go there and I eat the steak.
Sure.
But what kind of meat is this? And tell me a little bit more about that.
The pit beef?
Yes.
Sure, it's brisket.
Okay.
So it's upper two-thirds choice brisket, so it's the fanciest that we can get and people want to pay for. And it goes, we get it ready to go, and then it goes into the mesquite pits. The mesquite pits are, it's not a smoked kind of a product. A lot of people are thinking it's going to be smoked, but it's
like
not.
It's like a Hawaiian luau.
Exactly.
It's not cooked like that.
So it goes in there, and we take actual mesquite logs. It takes a startling amount of wood to do it. It's about a quarter of a cord of wood, which is just so much. And it goes in there, they get it down to the coals, the briskets go in, they're full briskets, and then we take them out 24 hours later. So they cook basically all day. So Tuesday mornings, typically, they will start them. Wednesday mornings, they take them back out and then, you know, get them pretty. We serve it two different ways. One's way sliced and one's way shredded, just depending on what people's preferences. Comes out very tender, very juicy. Not a lot of smoke because that's what people are sometimes expecting, but just the process doesn't create smoke because they're literally cooked underground. It's one of the older ways that you can cook anything
so
like an oven.
You put the meat in on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
It's ready on Wednesday.
Wednesday morning.
And when you serve it that night.
Yeah, we serve it. We serve it every night. We have a few ways to keep it prepared and to serve it in a way that is, you know, of course, safe and all that kind of thing. But still turns out delicious.
So you went Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the whole thing starts all over again on
Tuesday.
Starts
all over again.
Well, I'm going to have to probably do a sampler platter, I think, on Thursday.
Yeah, and depending on the time of year, we're doing about 600 pounds of it a week. So.
I remember I first got introduced to that when we were walking around, you and me and Tim, and then, of course, I see it when you walk in, when you come in.
Yeah, you
it's
can't
right
miss
there.
It.
And that's one of your specialty items.
Yeah, it came on I think it was in the 80s. And one of the reasons was at the time, brisket was really inexpensive. It's not anymore, but it was really inexpensive. And so it was done as a way to make something really affordable, because that's important for our mission and our branding is to be as affordable as we can. So the brisket was brought on to be a less expensive alternative to the steaks. And then also is, there's a lot of clientele that prefer their beef cooked through. And brisket is something that performs really, really well when it's cooked through, whereas steaks, it depends on if that's the way you like it. That's great. We'll prepare it for you. But it doesn't lend itself as well to being cooked through.
And when you walk into the restaurant, you actually will see the grill that they're cooking the steaks on.
Yep. Yeah, you can see there are 5 grills total in the restaurant, and they are highly visible. There's only one dining room and a couple spots that you can't physically see one of the grills, but you can always the mesquite pervades the entire space. So you can't avoid having seen a grill or watching while the grillers are doing their work.
Now, tell me a little bit about the backstory of Savoy, because did it start out as an entertainment opera house, or did it start out as a group location for corporate parties or?
Group sales. The story I heard, and Tim might be able to confirm or deny this, is that there was a gentleman named Albie, and I just saw him a couple weeks ago, actually. Albie was working at Pinnacle Peak, and he, and it might have been Tim for that matter, I'm not sure. Although I think, Tim, you came on after Albie, is that right?
We may have lost Tim.
Which is okay.
Are you there, Tim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. Did you come on after Albie? Did you know Albie?
I did. I actually had the job right after Albie.
Got it. Okay. Albie Robertson. If you've met Albie, you will never forget him. He is a character.
Yeah.
And it was part of the thing is that they saw an opportunity in the marketplace to get into group sales. So they pitched. And the building that the Savoy is in was actually 5 or 6 different suites. So they, one of them was the Playbox Theater, which is Gaslight Theater, was there for a period of time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And they actually take their name, from the gas lamps around Charlestown. So they were there. They were also at, the big blue and yellow building that's at the front. It was most recently a museum. But anyhow, so the Savoy was started that way to be a convention center. On the east side, and so it didn't quite predate the TCC, but from a lot of the resorts in town, they weren't what they are today. So when it first opened, the Savoy was, I don't remember, I think even when Tim was there, they were doing 300 plus events a year, so it was pretty much every day, and it was the place to go. And since that time, the city's changed. The city realized that cowboys and cowboy culture is a huge part of the Tucson identity. So a lot of the resorts even built their own little mini versions.
The last territory.
Yeah, exactly.
The Conquistador.
Yeah, they.
It's fine. I mean, it's a great place.
It's part of Tucson.
Yeah,
The Tucson identity is the cowboy. Part of the culture is mixed in. I mean, cowboys used to literally ride horses to Pinnacle Peak and Charlestown on Friday nights. So they'd enjoy a steak, they'd enjoy the rest of their paycheck in Stumpy's, which was a bar, with a guy with one arm and a good sense of humor. And then they would, the horses would, you know, designate, drive them back home to the ranch. So it was a dirt road. I mean, like, cowboys, and this was the 60s. So, you know, you think about, like, you know, Mad Men and Madison Avenue, and we're putting folks on the moon. And, you know, we had literal cowboys riding into a steakhouse that had kerosene lamps. You know, I mean, it just, so how are you going to escape this? So when people are coming to this city, it's and it doesn't matter where you go in the world, that's the reputation of Tucson, in particular Arizona in general, is to get into cowboy stuff. So,
yeah, I remember when you told me that story at that Tanger Verde wasn't this six lane road anymore. Before
it was two lane dirt road,
and they rode the horses up. They have a steak dinner.
Yeah, with a big green water tank, hence Tanger Verde.
Much more to come. This is a. Where are we? We're at KVOI, and we're having a great time here with Casey and Tim talking about the old days of Tucson, where you would literally get on your horse and ride it to dinner. Well, we're back listening to the Buckles and Spurs, the 50 songs celebrating the 50 years of cowboy tradition. So, and done by the Sons of the Pioneers, as I just mentioned. They were, you know, remember, Sons of the Pioneers used to be here every single winter season at the Triple C Ranch. Mm. And it was a steak dinner restaurant.
No kidding.
And Sons of the Pioneers were your show.
Wow.
And this was in the 90s.
Wow.
And then Triple C sold, and, you know, a lot of sure. the ranches, like Lazy K and whatever. But, you know, so we never want this to disappear,
right.
The Old West heritage. And there's a actually, someone asked me, you know, of the 130 members and broken into categories, what's the largest category? And the largest category is heritage.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, that's great. So what is new? What's going to be going on and things that you might want to talk about?
Sure. So one of the things to always keep in mind is that we are really active on social media. That's the easiest way to stay up to date on news and that kind of stuff. There is also, we have something called the Yeehaw Society, which is our loyalty program for the property and the two restaurants. So that gets you on newsletters and all kind of stuff. And there's discounts and all kinds of wonderful things. And you can say that you're a proud member of the Yeehaw Society, which, I mean, come on. That's fun. And then, so the next special event that we've got coming up is, it's called the Fairytale Tea Party. That's going to be in the Savoy Opera House. It is a tea party kind of geared towards children that want to come out. So there's, you know, all your favorite fairytale characters, a little that kind of stuff going on. After that, we're going to have Oktoberfest at Childestown, which is a lot of fun, local beer, bratwurst, fun, lederhosen. I mean, come on. It's fun. The polka music.
You have to have fun when you're in Charleston.
You have to have fun. We are the home of Howdy, where you're in town, Western town. So we have all those things coming up. We're probably going to be, there's also we're going to have a country night in August that should be a lot of fun. It'll be Jesse Colt's band playing, going to be playing some of your favorite country tunes from the 80s and 90s, and we have a 1500 square foot dance floor that folks can two-step if they're into that sort of thing, and we might have some line dancing elsewhere in the summer if we can get everything to line up the way we would like to.
Well, that's a lot going on.
We always have a lot going on.
And, you know, it's not only just the indoor part of Savoy, it's the right outside where the gazebo is, and it's just a great environment. And I think I was there for the Arizona Bowl picture of all of the volunteers, and did it around the gazebo.
Yep.
And we had the big helmet out there.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the big Arizona Bowl helmet. So it's a great place to go with your family. Now, admission into Trail Dust Town is free.
Correct. That is a true statement.
But there are some rides,
and you
can buy some wooden nickels.
Yep,
free. We do have a little special in the Tucson Attractions passport as well. So you got to go out and buy your passport and enjoy the ride. There's a little Ferris wheel that you talked about, and is that a Zamperla ride, or do you remember who built that?
It's from why am I blanking on the name of the ride? It's from Italy. I can tell you that.
That's Amperla.
There it is.
It's,
you got it.
And it's high quality,
yep,
looking, great ride, always popular.
Yeah, people love a Ferris wheel.
And any new rides maybe planned, or
it depends on who you talk to.
Okay. well, you're the boss.
Hey, no, well, hey, everybody's got a boss, Tom.
We can have breaking news here.
It's actually a coin operated bull is rumored to be heading towards us.
Coin operated.
You know,
bull.
Rumored. That's the rumor.
Well, you know, PRCA is huge right now.
Sure.
And you know, it trumps news even.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Bull riding versus news.
Yeah, right.
I think I'd rather watch a bull ride.
Well, and this one is only going to cost you 25 cents, and the danger quotient is wildly lower than trying to ride an actual bull.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Always
is. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you.
Casey Wills, president of Trail This Town, and, well, actually AgriLand and Cattle, and all the things that they are involved in. Go out and have a nice steak dinner at Pinnacle, and it's just an enjoyable place to bring your entire family, or maybe just a date.
There it is.
Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow, and thank you for joining us. Have a good day.